We want that.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. So good morning, everybody. Thanks for attending this first session on day two on a rainy day. But I'm really excited to have a lot of folks here to for me to talk about the another driver servicing update sessions. Last year, around the same time, I talked about this topic about mostly to focus on the Windows update, how the drivers being offered. So today, I want to more focus on to putting some puzzle together. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time on talking about universal drivers, right? We also talked about the hardware dev center and driver flighting. So hopefully to give you some of the more overall end-to-end view on what's going on for the servicing side. So the content itself, I want to talk about what happened since we met last year and what's the changes. Then some of the stuff we didn't talk about on the detail yesterday, I want to give some high-level update for the HLK and the compatibility program and upcoming changes. Also, this time, I would like to cover some of the enterprise story. So we have driver servicing update for the enterprise partners. And many of you here probably have some enterprise customers. And we'd like to give some overview about what are the driver servicing story for those customers. Then lastly, Hardware Dev Center launched last year, November. Since then, there's a lot of feedback and questions. Palani yesterday talked a lot about the update. I would also like to share some of the best practice and tips that hopefully you can use to improve your servicing processes. So let's talk about some of the looking back slide to talk about what happened last 12 months. Hardware Dev Center launched November, and in this audience, how many of you have actually been there to use the Hardware Dev Center? Thank you. Looks like there's a lot of hands raised. We've actually migrated over 1,000 companies' account. But we have the ecosystem growing. We have a record showing more than 1,500 companies actually using and signed the drivers in Hardware Dev Center. We've seen half of them already in the first couple of months was already using Hardware Dev Center. So that was a very quick adoption of the Hardware Dev Center. So the driver submission has been already moved to the Hardware Dev Center. As Palani mentioned yesterday, some of the migration is continuing to happen behind the scene, but main driver servicing is already moved to Hardware Dev Center, and we've seen a lot of traffic going through there. So thank you for supporting this migration. Release plus 90 days concept was introduced last spring. So this is to align our servicing model to a more rapid cadence of the release. We have semi-annual release of the OS now, and we need to make sure that any of the tool and the policies need to be aligned to the servicing. So we released this policy information at last year's WinHack, and this mainly impact to the compatibility program for the system certification. And that information was shared. After that, we also got a lot of feedback and questions about how the driver is being offered. So we sent some of the clarification about the driver forward compatibility or the driver forward distribution policy. And I'll talk about that a little bit to just provide you the clarification. Windows 10S, we had a session yesterday on the details. We also opened up the publishing a driver for the Windows 10S. And one of the key changes for the Windows 10S is about enabling code integrity, right? And also there are some key policy that you should be aware of. And those are applied to the current publishing scheme in Hardware Dev Center, and I'll talk about that as well. So let's talk about Windows 10S driver servicing. So as Yoichiro Okada yesterday talked about the Windows 10S. We have code integrity policy enabled for the Windows 10S. We also have the policy that we don't allow any legacy UX to be running on Windows 10S. This means that basically Windows Update is the main servicing tool that you can use for servicing the drivers. In terms of the signing and publishing today, we support both HLK and attestation. Attestation meaning the driver signing. So it's the same process for the signing. But when you try to publish a driver, what happens is that you create a shipping label for Windows Update, then you will see the new checkbox at the end of the publishing processes. And we request you to confirm the compliance to code integrity and UX policy. And this publishing scheme is a different from other OS SKU when you think about it, meaning that we don't have Windows 10 S category when you sign the driver. We are providing the option to extend your driver to be published to be Windows 10 S, meaning that when you're publishing a Windows 10 drivers, those drivers can be extended and offered to Windows 10 S. So please be aware of this difference. So let's talk about some of the upcoming changes. We have some improvement coming for the Hardware Dev Center. And this will be pivoted around enabling a scalable publishing improvement. Yesterday, Palani talked about on the Hardware Dev Center about, for example, like public API. Those are the features that we are looking at as a priority to enabling some of the scalable publishing, right? We are also upgrading a Windows Update server, meaning that today we're using a separate server for updating drivers, meaning separate from OS distribution. We are moving to the same server that we are using for the OS distribution. What does it mean? We'll talk about some of the improvements. DCHU transition that we talked about at the Universal Driver sessions. This transition is happening. And basically, we're transitioning to more the modern servicing model, and we want to have a driver that can be service independent and in a clean manner and be able to service on faster cadence. I will also talk about some changes happening on the Creators Update. We are making some changes for the driver installation behavior, and based on a lot of feedback from partners and the customers. So for Hardware Dev Center, we still have some feature needs to be migrated. So we have already enabled the HLK, HCK submissions in the Hardware Dev Center. Attestation is already moved there. We still need to have WLK, test signing, UFI, and some also other minor feature needs to be moved over in order for us to completely migrate from SysDev to Hardware Dev Center so that you do not need to go to two different sites to do the driver servicing processes. And servicing scale improvement, besides of the public API we talked about yesterday, we have a lot of feedback from your about the improvements. Some of the stuff is that searching and filtering capabilities of the drivers. Many of the partner manages so many drivers in Hardware Dev Center. So we have a lot of feedback about to make it easier to manage drivers in Hardware Dev Center page. Also the optimization for the submission, for example, like a shipping label usage. And I'll talk about that a little bit and a tip and best practice to help you on that for now. But we're looking into how we can help you to have a better better experience in terms of creating a shipping label in Hardware Dev Center. We talked about public API and also driver flighting process. Mark Bailey talked about the driver flooding process end-to-end yesterday. So now you can actually, we are opening up this program to the much broader audience. So you have opportunity to be able to experience this process. We're also working on behind the scene to optimize the process to have more faster cadence. His team is already working on to improving that, but more of the improvement on the back end is happening. I would also like to talk about documentation. We have today some set of documentation available for the Hardware Dev Center. And if you go to MSDN, this information is available. And I'll share the link to the MSDN. We are adding a content as needed. And actually, we should let you know, really, when we make the update to the contents, you know what has been changed. So we've been working with Hardware Dev Center team to increase the transparency of the change, including about like a release note, meaning that they have actually cadence to update their code in monthly cadence. So we are talking about how we can increase the visibility into some of the changes happening when we are releasing the change in a monthly cadence. On the Windows update, we are upgrading the server to the same server that we're using for the OS distribution. This transition is happening late summer to this early fall. And basically, what you can probably experience is some of the performance improvement for the publishing side. So for the drivers, sometimes have a really large files, for example, like graphics drivers. And some of the those large driver may have the targeting for thousands of targeting to cover the ecosystems. Think about how our server is managing each targeting scheme to making sure that actually delivered to the worldwide end users. That process was actually taking, this for the worst case scenario was taking days. We're talking about these heavy publishing act can be done within like hours. So in terms of the publishing, you will see some of the improvement on the faster publishing processes. Also, this new server will be supporting Extension INF. So Extension INF was introduced before this, and it's actually currently supported in the OS side from the creator update. But in terms of servicing, we need to have this server transition need to be completed. And once this server transition completed this fall, Extension INF support will be available for you to actually use in the servicing through the Hardware Dev Center. And in terms of which driver is supported or using this new server, is that driver servicing for the creator update driver or later will be using this new server. Drivers that have been signed for the before, for anniversary update or before, those still be using the current driver, Windows update driver server. So there is some distinction in terms of which driver is supported through this new server. The change with this transition, currently the impact is that this is the edge case scenario, but we have a cheat targeting scenario that currently not covered in the new server. So we have the cheat targeting called the cheat specificity targeting. When you have, let's say you have the multiple cheat assigned to for the one driver, this is also the very edge case and not many partners using this case. If you have the way to, if you are actually prioritizing a cheat for the same targeting for the using a multiple cheat, this feature is currently is not supported. We're talking about in the future how we should migrate this feature over to the new server. But if you have any questions on this one, because it's a very much of a little bit edge scenario, we can talk about, I'm happy to answer any of the questions at the Ask the Expert session. So let's talk about the DC-HU transition. This one was covered yesterday at the Universal Driver Session. But I would like to also talk about this definition and also what's the impact of the servicing side. So declarative componentized hardware-supported application that transition into the basically universal driver push is happening this and next year. In terms of the servicing story this fall, creators update, as I mentioned, extension inf is already supported in OS side. Servicing side will be supported from the hardware dev center for the creators update. Flighting is also supported for the extension inf case. And HSA, this is also talked about it yesterday in terms of the what the HSA is and how to implement. So you can actually also do for the servicing for the either pre-install or targeted servicing. In terms of the detail of the targeting servicing, we'll be sharing information this summer, as Viraf mentioned. But in this fall, you'll be able to service those two items. So let's talk about the change in the driver installations. So today, if you have your driver flighted, your driver will be automatically offered to your end users. So what happened to the driver is that when driver is offered to end users, the installation will immediately happen. Then the reboot, if the reboot is required, reboot is actually prioritized based on the situation and where the end user is in terms of if they are really busy using the system or they're in active hours. There's many different settings to defer the reboot later so that it will minimize the interruption to end user. However, because installation today happens immediately and automatically available driver is pushed on many different occasions, some cases, we have a feedback from end users and also partners. Some installation is interrupting end users, the processes. For example, if you're using a PowerPoint, you're presenting PowerPoint, however, you got this graphics driver and start installations. Or if you're using listening music and audio drivers installed. So there's some cases that we have heard about system not functioning, application crashed. So we have heard those feedback from many customers and also partners. So we're making a change for this fall in the creators update. What we are doing is that delaying installation of the driver by knowing what end user is doing, meaning that we're doing the more of the check when we do the install before we do the actual installation. We'll be doing some busy check to see if end user is actually using some application or they're busy. Then we'll defer the installation to later time. But we want to make sure end user get the driver as soon as possible for the automatically updated case. So we're basically continue to have a frequent check to see if the user is actually in active mode or they are not using a system. And it's a good time to actually install the drivers. So this change is happening from the fall creators update. It's not the creators update. Creators update was in March. So this change is happening on the fall creators update. If you are insider today, a part of the insider, you may already see this behavior already. So let's talk about the HLK and the compatibility program update. So Windows hardware compatibility program update. So the hardware requirements, this is the same as before. It's finalized at the RTM. And new requirements coming up for the full creators update HLK kit. So Windows 10S, this is the DCHU, part of the DCHU transition. So Windows 10S full creator update, there's a DCH compliance requirement. And at the Universal Driver Session, we talked about this. But in February, there is HLK enforcement happening for the DCH compliant. And summer 2018, next year, is DCHU compliant. We are adding several or few new requirements into the HLK kit. And those informations are available if you have access to the HLK kit. And some of the requirements was optional, now moving to the basically the requirement as well. This means that this will incur some of the new work for your side. Please be please review that detailed information and try to understand about this new requirement for the universal drivers and DCHU. Same as the creators update, we are opening up the HLK program at RTM, meaning that if you need to get the signed driver for the full creators update, that will start the date, the public RTM date. And you have access to the pre-release HLK kit if you need to start testing now so that you can minimize the readiness of your driver availability. We would also like to give a heads up in fall creators update, HLK kit have some changes, another changes. We are going to have some requirement in terms of eventually on the next next year, we would like to have all the driver package to have the symbol files included. This is due to the fact that today we collect the crash dump information, and now you have access to the information from Hardware Dev Center failure report. But we have the data shows that without symbol files, this is talking about the public symbol files, it's very difficult for us or even for us to talk to you to figure out the driver issues. And without symbol files, the resolution rate is very, very low. So we would like to have this start enforcing to have the symbol files for a driver package, for example, like exit file, any sys file, or DLL file, any of that, if you have that in a driver package, those require the public symbols. So to get there, for full creators update this fall, what we are doing is that if you didn't add the symbol files, HLK kit will show you some warning message. And the next release, after that release, so next year, HLK kit will actually enforce the symbol file to be included. And here's the information about how to build the public symbols. But give us a feedback. This is some new initiative for us, and we would love to hear your feedback. So let us know if there's any concerns or questions on this. So let's talk about Windows Update for Business. So we've talked a lot about the client scenarios and how drivers are being offered. You're probably wondering, or you're probably working with your enterprise customers or partners about how the drivers are being offered for the enterprise scenario. We have tools like WSAS, SCCM, Intune, actually many offering to enterprise partner to manage drivers. But with this faster cadence now, with twice a year release, and we also have a monthly release, we need to provide more flexibility to the enterprise partners. So for Windows Update for Business, we introduced this. It's a client-centric model. It's currently available since Windows 10. Basically, the main purpose of the Windows Update for Business was providing a very simple, simplified updating of the OS drivers, any of the updates through the Windows Update. And it has some flexibility through using MDM, mobile device management, and a group policy setting. So it's more like easier manner for the enterprise partner to have kind of preset update that they can actually control the updates through these policies. Windows Update for Business also supports multiple different scenarios, including on-prem and cloud. So let's talk about type of update that it's been categorized. So the type of update we have is mainly three, and I want to actually talk about how the driver update is impacted today. So when we say feature update here, is a feature update is a semi-annual release. It's a big release like you're talking about for creators update, creators update. This includes the securities and the quality update and new features. And there is a quality update. This is a monthly update. It usually is scheduled for the second Tuesday of the month. And this includes some of the critical updates, including securities, but mostly the one that to address some of the issues, important issues in monthly cadence. Then we have a non-deferral update. This doesn't happen more often, but when we have some of the security issues, we provide this update as needed. Windows Update for Business provide opportunity for the enterprise customers, enterprise partners, who's managing the device to control this feature update, a quality update through the policy. So they have a way to defer some of the update. So how does that impact to the driver update? So driver update is somewhat separate today. Last year I talked about the different category of driver update. Optional, dynamic update, DU, and critical. So optional is the default drivers. Today, if you publish driver from the hardware dev center, that driver is currently considered optional. Optional driver is offered through clean install, device managers. It's end user needs to know where to get the drivers. Then the dynamic update and critical update, this is automatically pushed, provided to end users. And this based on the different scenarios. Dynamic update is upgrade during the upgrade. Critical update is offered in many scenarios, like from the Windows update, daily Windows update. It's much faster cadence and more, as you can see, more frequent cadence than any of the other OS feature update or the quality update. So this offering is how that driver is offered is a different case-by-case scenario. And let's talk about, before I go into the how the driver is impacted for the servicing side, let's talk about what's new so far in terms of the Windows Update for Business. So Windows Update for Business provided, as I mentioned, some of deferral policies for the customers, enterprise customers. But we had some complicated policies before. For this spring release, the creators update, they are actually simplifying some of the deferral policy. So feature update side, their support policy was 2 releases plus 60 days, which confused a lot of end users and then customers. So we're now simplified to the support for the 18 months after the release. And also the deferral being actually extended from 180 days in anniversary update to the creator update this spring is extended to 365 days. And additional customization they enable was the pause feature. And this is through the MDN and also the group setting policy. The pause feature was introduced so that you can customize the pause date of the update to whatever the date that they want to wait for it. This also had a lot of feedback in terms of when you set the pause as a days, that was the original feature, like let's say 35 days. And that was difficult for some of the partner to actually track the date actually they started the pause date. So we changed that to the actual date that they decide to do the pause so they can do actual clear calculation. We are also integrating that with the SCM and Intune for some of the feature set in a creator update. SCCM, Intune, and WSAS, There are many, different tools available for the enterprise customers, but many of the tools, some of the tools was created when we had a cadence of 3 to 4 years of update. So Windows Update for the Business was introduced to really help that to bridge the gap. And it needs to have, the integration is slowly happening now. So let's talk about the driver servicing impact. So we have basically in a three major category to providing a driver servicing control. So Windows Update for Business have some ability to control driver servicing. But it's, we'll talk about this, but it's not flexible, meaning it's simplified solution. So the options that they can control is very limited. The second item is WSAS. WSAS provides you the most granular driver control, like per driver. But this will increase the, in terms of management of the driver, and IT admin must know which driver to really implement or not, and they have to approve each drivers. And the third option is management tool. There's a lot of third-party management tools today available, and that has a more flexibility, and some of the enterprise users use that as well. So the driver policy for the Windows Update for Business. Today, that we have a policy in Windows Update for Business to exclude the driver update. As I mentioned, this is all or nothing, actually not flexible options. So this is used for a limited scenario. And as I mentioned as well, for if you're using WSAS and a third-party management tool, there'll be more flexibility, but it also incurs some additional cost. Also, if you are in an enterprise environment, and if you sign up for the OMS, enterprise partner has access to some of the telemetry reporting. For them to be able to understand about the OS update status, also the security update status like defenders, and drivers, telemetry information is also as part of this offering as well. So I hope that gave you some like very high level of the driver servicing situation for the enterprise. We have more to work on and hopefully to have more update on that in a later. But before that, I would like to also talk about the some of the best practice for Hardware Dev Center. So Hardware Dev Center is separated into two big functionalities. So signing of the driver, and after you sign the driver, and there's a publishing portion. So let me talk about signing side. So signing and certification. We have a lot of questions from partners. We apply RTM plus 90 days policies for Hardware Dev Center. That means that there is a supported HOK versions that you should be aware of. And currently, latest HOK version available in public is 17.03 for Creators Update. And in Hardware Dev Center, we support HOK version 16.07 and 17.03. If you're using older than that, your submission will not go through. Just want to make sure that, because we're getting a lot of questions on that and Hardware Dev Center. Also, another new thing is that and from the Hardware Dev Center is that we are running Inf Verifier tool for every driver submitted for the signing. And we are updating the Inf Verifier tool that we're using every release. So currently, we're using this version on last digit for 1005. Make sure you run this before you submit the driver to Hardware Dev Center. Make sure if it fails, it will likely to fail on the Hardware Dev Center as well, right? And latest Inf Verifier tool is our WDK. Inf Verifier tool is also a good tool to, for you to identify the DCH compliance. So please be aware on that. And Latest HLK information also available in Hardware Dev Center. There's a link that you can go to. So you can also understand about where we are. And for signing, also please be aware about this for the distribution policy. I mentioned about this in earlier on the slide. So driver is offered to basically to N and N plus one, meaning that let's say if you sign the driver for creators update, those driver will be available for creators update automatically. But that doesn't mean we're giving you, we're certifying HLK certification, extending that. That's not what that means. Meaning that driver is available to end users. If you need to actually certify a driver for a fork creators update, you need to run the HLK again on that. But driver itself will be available because a lot of end users are upgrading the OS to the latest one. And this also means that we have a policy that driver doesn't have a backward compatibility. If you sign driver for the creators update, those driver will not be offered to the anniversary update, right? So we want to be very clear on that, how the driver is being distributed today. And we talked about the for creators update signing open at RTM. Let's talk about the publishing side on the targeting best practices. So the first one is targeting. I cannot stress enough about understanding about hardware ID and JIT, right? So as I mentioned last year, hardware ID can be unique from two-part to four-part ID, and JIT targeting is really specific for the system targeting. If you exhaust hardware ID targeting scenario, and you still need to have granular targeting, JIT is available. But please do understand about some of the consequences when you complicating the targeting scheme. So it's very important you work with your partner, create your own planning, right, and a principle about the targeting, and don't mix it up because it's going to get easily overwhelmed as you have more drivers in the system. Down-level OS versus Windows 10. So Win 7 versus Windows 10. Please understand the difference here for the targeting. JIT targeting is not supported for the down-level OS. So if you have the situation where you want to use a JIT targeting for Windows 10 and down-level OS, you need to start thinking about some of the options, right? If you're creating a shipping label, including Windows 10 and down-level OS and using JIT, are you also aware of the impact to down-level OS without the JIT? You should think about that as well. Hardware ID policy. We understand some of the hardware ID are limited, meaning that some hardware ID may have only two-part hardware ID. And we have the list of those hardware IDs that currently triggered the manual review from our team. It's actually the flooding team actually reviewing it. And some of the case, we may be recommending you to just add JIT targeting so that it will not be impacting other partners. We are doing this type of diligent work to making sure driver landed to the right places. So please review the information in MSDN. We have the list of hardware ID policy items. In the MSDN, there's a table. The publishing management side, in the next couple slides, I'll talk about some of the tips. One of the new things that we introduced in Hardware Dev Center is the new IDs. In SysDev, we had one ID called Submission ID. Hardware Dev Center have multiple IDs, and I'll talk about that, how you can think about it and how you should manage those IDs. But one of the key important information is that please use a shared product ID. Shared product ID, we'll talk about later, is the only ID today that been shared between partners. So if you like to talk to the partner about the driver you've been shared, share the product ID is the ID that you can share, and you can identify the driver in Hardware Dev Center. Second one is a shared shipping level visibility. This is a new feature based on your feedback the Hardware Dev Center team enabled last year. So what that means is that you can now share the visibility of your publishing, a driver information with one partner. So that rather having a phone call or email to let them know, like, hey, I published a driver for you. Now you can just let them know with using a shared product ID, this driver is being published, and you can go to your hardware dev center to confirm that. We talked about WinTNS compliance. Please understand about how the publishing impact, because it's inclusive model. You can extend WinTNS, WinTN driver to be also published to the WinTNS. It's not separate. It's the same part of the process. Also, the firmware, we talked about last year as well. Firmware targeting is using a unique GUID, an update capsule. If you get those capsules with the generic ID from your firmware vendor, making sure you update those GUID targeting is unique for your company. If it's not unique, you could be impacting other partners. With that concern, Microsoft has been reviewing every firmware, UEFI firmware update targeting before it goes to the Windows update to making sure that's a unique ID today. But we would like to stress the importance of being serious about the targeting, right? And chip management, as I mentioned, this can get overwhelmed quickly because you could create 15 different combinations of chip targeting just for the one SM BIOS configuration. We provide this tool so that you can have a granular targeting, but if you overuse it, it will quickly overwhelm your driver publishing processes. Then lastly, I would like to also press that join the driver flooding program. So as Mark Bailey talked about yesterday, driver flooding program has a lot of process to actually evaluate the driver quality in Insider. But another important thing for you to know is that making driver automatically available is a very powerful tool. Windows Update as part of the Windows, and as you are part of Windows, we have so many different ways to offer driver to end users. And making driver automatically available is a strong way for you to actually push driver to end users. And as you saw, even the enterprise scenario, driver offering is a separate. So this is a great opportunity for you to think about your servicing strategy and utilizing that Windows process. So let's talk about the hardware dev center ID systems. And hopefully this will help you to identify how you think about those IDs are. So we have today a 5 different IDs. Publisher ID, private product ID, submission IDs, share product ID, and shipping label IDs. So many of you may not be realize there's a 5 different IDs. We have this information in MSDN. But what I would like to go through with you is that how those IDs being assigned and how you can actually interpret those IDs. So I want to use a resale DUS scenario. This is a new feature the Hardware Dev Center team enabled last November. Based on the feedback from a lot of the driver owners, that I have customers that requires the INF customization. But if I do INF customization with DUA, which is driver update acceptable process, I cannot resell the driver in SysDev. So we enable this feature that driver owner, IHVs, most of the case, they can make the customization for INF, then they can resell that driver without going through the beginning of the signing process. So let's use that scenario. So company A, driver owner, has a publisher ID. Publisher ID is assigned to each company, one ID, so you have the identifier of the company IDs. Company A have initial driver and it's signed. When it's signed, you notice that there is a private product IDs assigned, let's say A100. Then you have submission ID also showed up and says this is B200. You get a call from company B, say, hey, I need this driver, and by the way, can you modify INF file and resell that? I was like, okay, I will DUA the driver and create this resell driver. When you create the resell driver, you notice that there is new product, private product IDs assigned, A101, and the new submission IDs is also assigned, B201. Then you also noticed, oh, there is a new ID assigned called a share product ID. This ID looks like a same ID for both end, C300 and C300, the other side of visibility. Then I also see the shipping label IDs, which is also another ID, D401, and different shipping label ID, D402. I give that driver to them. So what does it mean? I'll try to use some of the terminology from the system side so that you understand about some of the concept here. So private product ID is the initial driver submission ID, right? And submission ID is a way for us to track the DUA, or in other words, customization tracking ID. So this case, because company A updated the INF INF file, it has the new submission IDs associated with it. And the private product ID is also a unique identifier. However, this case where we're reselling a driver is as a new entity, has a new IDs in it. Shared product ID is the only ID that you can actually talk to your partner and then identify as the same ID today. And shipping label ID, this is the ID to track the actual publishing act. So when you're creating a shipping label, you have two options, either resell or go into the Windows update. This ID tracking on that identifier. So in summary, it's important for you to understand about shared product ID, and that's the ID that you should be using when you're talking to your partner. And submission ID is also another good identifier for you to identify which customization, right? If let's say you make customization for company B and company C, you can actually use a submission ID to track that. So tracking your submission, use shared product ID. Shared product ID is that when you open the hardware main page, the ID is showing on far on your left side is a shared product ID. And when you're searching shared product ID, this is the only ID that we actually support searching in a search box. And you don't have to put all the numbers here. I put like three numbers here, and it will quickly show up on the search. If you search, it will quickly filter the information there. So where can you find the product, private product ID? Private product ID, you can search in two ways. You can go to that driver itself, and it shows in the page, or you could also search by the product ID on constructing some of the URL. And if you go to the driver page, you see that private product ID show up in the URL as well. And where is the shipping label ID? Because shipping label ID is not showing up on the page today. You can actually see a shipping label ID in the URL when you go to that when you actually go to open the shipping label ID. So that's how you can identify today. We're working with hardware dev center team to improve that on the searching and filtering capabilities, right? Another important thing is know your administrator. We call the global admin. Global admin is the one admin today. And it has he or she has a capability to add you, add the new users, and providing a new role. For example, we have a way to control the person who has the access to do a driver flighting capability. So without the checkbox for the user doesn't have the role capability, even though let's say we enable the flighting capability for the account, some of the user may not have a way to flight the driver. So make sure to identify who is your global ID, global administrator. We're working to enable the visibility so that any of the users can actually contact the global admin hardware dev center easily, right? So debugging hardware dev center issues. There's a lot of IDs that you want to search, including like, okay, I don't know my global admin information, and I don't know the publisher information, my company's publisher ID is. One thing you can do is that if you're on a driver page, you can add the #?debug at the end of the URL, and it will show up this gray box. This gray box shows the publisher ID, private product ID, submission ID. Display ID, the showing here, is as equivalent as a shared product ID. This information is also very useful if you're contacting a support, hardware dev center support. Send this information because it has additional debugging measure that we use on hardware dev center support team. And I also want to give some of the tips about the device certification report. This was enabled in recently. And you can download the certification report now. However, it requires some of the tricks that you need to construct basically this URL. And in order for you to construct this URL, as I mentioned before, you need to know what the publisher ID is, private product IDs, and submission IDs. And hopefully this deck will be posted on the channel 9. And you can see this information. But once you know those IDs and you construct this URL, you can download the actual certification report. And this information is currently updated in MSDN as well. It's recent, very recent. But and we're working with hardware dev center team to enable a much easier way to pull the report. Today, we still have this certification report query page in a SysDev, and we are working on understanding about how we can move this forward to the much easier manner to get the, so that you can download the certification report. And some of the did you know questions, I think this is also important for you to be aware when you're creating a publishing. The first one is that when you're creating a flighting request, so AKA promotion, you're wondering about, I also need to have this driver available to Windows Update ASAP for whatever the reason that maybe you have some business reasons. When you request the promotion, there is a today 14 days SLA. While we are flighting a driver, we are also automatically publishing driver to optional, available to Windows Update, so that you don't have to create a second shipping label. And today, also, you also have a way to edit or modify shipping label. For example, you decide, I forgot to add this hardware IDs. I want to add it later. It's already published. I want to come back and update the shipping label. You can do so. But there are some updates that we don't support today. And if you do so, if you made an update that we don't support to republish, you see the deprecated sign on the shipping label after you do that republishing. So when you see the deprecated, mean that you try to make a change that we don't support. And basically, we are requesting you to create a shipping label, new shipping label, if you need to make those changes. So in case you're wondering about what that means, that's what that means. Talked many times about the Windows 10S, so I'm not gonna actually repeat that. And lastly, if you are promoting a driver or flighting driver, and you decided on, you waited within a 14 days SLA on a 3 days in, oh, I forgot something to add in the shipping label. I'm going to have to update, republish. That SLA will restart, right? Today, the shipping label shows a created date and shows the modified by, meaning the last person who modified. But it doesn't, the date does, they only reflect on the original created date, and it doesn't reflect the last modified date. So some people provide us the feedback to confuse about, oh, this is more than 14 days SLA. But not realizing that you actually made a change on the request between the 14 days SLA. 14 days SLA will restart from that day. So please make sure this change will impact some of the SLA. So with that said, I would like to move to the call to actions. For this fall, we are moving towards to the DCHU transitions. So this deck will be available on the channel 9 soon. So please get ready for this new servicing scenarios. And also new HOK requirements and enforcement timing, please be aware of that. And then get ready for that servicing scenarios. I hope that today we get, I gave you some of the high level about the enterprise driver servicing scenario. And please, that should also help you to have a discussion with your enterprise customers. And I'll plan if, in the future, if I have a time to have another session, I would like to have, provide you the latest information. But those policies definitely are making sure that work with your customer to understand about what servicing offering the best for your customers. Then lastly, please follow the best practices, and I'm really excited to still have the Ask Expert session this afternoon, and I would love to hear the information, questions. And I know there is also the Universal Driver Lab session after this, and we'd love to hear that your feedback on that. So with that said, thank you so much for listening in for the last 1 hour. Thank you.